This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, hello, everybody. We're back. It's been a couple of months, but we are back on the Place to Be Nation WWE Reaction Show series, and we are going to talk some SummerSlam tonight. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined, as always, on these shows by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, for people that follow me on Twitter know that I have basically quit watching current wrestling television. It broke me. We did the reaction show for the June pay-per-view, which I can't even remember the name of it now. Which one was
Backlash.
That?
Backlash.
And it just broke me.
The greatest match ever.
Yes. And it broke me. Not the show itself, but I just like, why am I watching this stuff? So the last 2 months, on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, I've been watching old wrestling. And it's made me a lot happier. So I've been doing that for the last 2 months, but SummerSlam's here, of course. That's a major show, so I figure why not, And I love doing these shows with you, so why not? Why not?
Why not?
Dip my toes back into the pond again. And WWE has made some changes, to the way they've done things now. We're in Thunderdome, at the Amway Arena in Orlando, and it's not the Performance Center anymore, and you got all these monitors there, one big Zoom call, and this, that, and the other, and it does make some difference, believe me, it really does, from where we were at in Performance Center Wrestling. But since I've been gone for 2 months from watching it, Extreme Rules took place, so we missed that, and you told me that show was not very good. So,
oh, no. The finish to the Asuka Sasha match is especially horrible.
So, tell me what I missed. Not to say go in depth or anything, but in the last 2 months, was there anything important that I missed?
So, I feel like they actually did a pretty good job of writing the ship towards SummerSlam. They brought in Raw Underground with Shane, and which the concept of that I like, but the execution of it has been hit or miss, and we still get Kevin Dunn's jump cuts editing.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's work to do with that. The Retribution stuff, let's be honest, it's clearly WWE's idea of what Antifa is, which is like the most ridiculous, stupid stuff, and such a bad idea. And they've made a couple of they've made a couple of small steps in the right direction with that the last couple of weeks, but it's still bad. For example, they have 20 unmasked wrestlers. You can't have a group of 20 unmasked wrestlers. You can't unmask them all. The roster isn't, the roster's too big anyways. So, it's like aces and eights and NWO times five when it comes. It's ridiculous. They've got to, that hasn't been great. But in terms of McIntyre Orton was a very good build. They had Orton take out Christian, take out Big Show, take out Flair, take out Shawn with the punt. McIntyre cut some really good promos to build to that match. They had another bad finish with Asuka and Sasha on Raw a couple weeks after Extreme Rules, where Kairi's angle on her way out of the company, because Kairi's seen, when her contract ran out, she went and moved back to Japan with her husband. And they did an angle where Bayley beat her up backstage and Asuka went to go save her and got counted out and lost her title on a count out. There were some terrific matches on TV after that. Like Asuka and Bayley had an excellent match a couple weeks ago, even better than the one tonight, which we'll get to in a little bit. The Mandy Sonya feud had some fantastic promos, but real life unfortunate situations occurred, and we'll get into that. The Braun and Fiend stuff was terrible at first. Then they got Alexa involved, and I thought that was interesting. But Braun has really been bad this summer. Like, He's not been good. I think he's been terribly exposed. And of course, the Fiend is a fiend. He's a guy with a great entrance and a great look. And then oftentimes the bell rings. but, you know, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag. But overall, I still think they righted the ship towards SummerSlam and stuff like the Hurt Business with MVP, Bobby Lashley and Shelton, I think, are a really good mid-card act. Like AJ with like Abyss as like his goofy assistant's been kind of fun on SmackDown. So there's some stuff that they're doing that is pretty entertaining. And of course, the Thunderdome introducing, being introduced on SmackDown has added some liveliness to the presentation, which, you know, is much needed, although I kind of like the quaintness of the PC era, but a change of setting was badly needed. And I'm glad that they did that. So, you know,
I guess I'm caught up now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for the most part, you know, that's kind of me covering the bases there.
Well, the thing is what's funny is, it's been 2 months. And basically, the people that are feuding with each other are basically the same people that were feuding with each other 2 months ago. I wasn't lost.
Right. Which, I mean, wasn't, you know, to be fair, that's kind of typical WWE in the spring and summer months after Mania. Like, yeah. You know, you just kind of have, like, people feuding with, you know, the only person who's really kind of changed up each month is Drew. You know, Drew Matches had Lashley, Ziggler, all good matches, by the way, too. I mean, he's actually the one person that they've, you know, given new challengers, which I do appreciate, and I think they've done a good job booking his title reign. But yeah, so, you know, here we are, 2 months later at SummerSlam.
Well, all right, so we go to SummerSlam at the Thunderdome, and we have the 1 hour kickoff show, not 2 hour, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
Selena said that she didn't poison Montez Ford, but he's fine, so it didn't matter. And she's come for Bianca Belair, and Jarrett said they were going to win the tag title, so we'll see about that. Shayna Baszler came out and said she won the winner of the Raw Women's title match, and she called out Nia Jax. Well, that sounds exciting. So we'll see where that goes. And then we have Retribution, which had a show to be a Retribution. Peter Rosenberg asked if they bought all their outfits at Target together, which that's a nice way to bury the group. Retribution, not on the show tonight at all. Was that a surprise for you?
Yes, it was a surprise for me. Look, I don't think they know what they're doing with these Retribution guys. I just think they thought, ha, laugh out loud. Let's look at these protests and bring in these left-wing anarchists and make them tear shit up because they're like petty, like, you know, and let's make sure to have them all like be like wrestlers who are like, you know, like 5'10" or shorter, because ha ha ha, laugh out loud, like it's stupid. I kind of think it was a mistake not to have them involved tonight, but at the same time, like, I'm kind of happy they weren't, you know, because I think it was expected, and then it was kind of a nice, like, okay, we don't have to deal with that crap tonight. You know what I mean? Like, so, and it's just, I don't know. Retribution is, it's not gone off to a good start. Let's say that. It's just, they've got, I like invasion angles as a concept, but not this one so far.
So I haven't missed anything, really.
No, unless you want to go laugh.
Now, my hope is for this is that eventually, somehow along the way, we get the mayor of Knox County to come show up, and he can lecture Retribution for being wrong in what they're doing, as he's been known to do about the protesters.
Right, exactly. There you go.
We're talking about Glenn Jacobs, everybody, Kane, the Lord of Devon's
That's
land
right.
right now.
That's right.
So, there's that. We had a kickoff match. U.S. heavyweight title, Apollo Crews against MVP. And one thing that I have noticed now that we are in Thunderdome is now we have pyro, as Apollo got some fireworks. So that's good to see some pyro make its way back into the fold. I did know that they used the old U.S. title belt in the graphic they show before the match to the new belt. Hey,
yeah,
that's a WCW move, but oh well. Match was fine, nothing special. Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin were sent to the back. Apollo got the spinning powerbomb on MVP, got the win. Lashley and Shelton came out to attack Cruz, but Cruz left unscathed, so good for him. So there you go. Talk to me about this. What were your thoughts?
Okay, so just as a brief catch up real quick. So Cruz beat Shelton on Raw this past week. Therefore, that's why Shelton and Bobby weren't at ringside. They were banned from ringside. You know, match was fine. They've also been doing this sort of deal because the Hurt Business is feuding with Cruz, Ali, Cedric Alexander, and Ricochet. And they've been teasing a Cedric Alexander turn and joining the Hurt Business. And they did a big tease last week, and he and Shelton and Tozawa, like, you know, all traded the 24/7 title on Raw or whatever. And so, you know, a lot of people thought Shelton or Cedric might get involved. But he didn't tonight, and I ended up thinking he wouldn't. That seems like something that could happen this week down the line. As far as the match goes, the match was fine. I thought it was a decent showcase for Cruz. Cruz got to hit a couple of big moves. He needed to win this match and at least this singular feud with MVP. He needed to win this feud, at least with MVP. MVP doesn't need a belt. He's the mouthpiece for his group. He's a great promo, great character. He doesn't have it as much anymore in the ring. He's older, beat down. I was fine with the outcome. Fine match.
Hurt Business. You think they're going to add any new members to the group?
Cedric would be my guess right now. You know, they're teasing the Cedric deal, saying that Ricochet isn't a good partner to him, and so on and so forth. So I think if they get anybody in the group, I think Cedric is probably the most likely right now.
All right. Well, it should be interesting to see how that goes. All right. Next, we get the main show now. We begin with Bayley defending the SmackDown Women's title against Asuka, where this was done from watching the videos that Bayley lost the Beat the Clock deal on SmackDown, where Naomi beat Bayley. So Bayley had to defend her title against Asuka first on this show. So I did notice that when Bayley came out, she had 317 shaded to the back of her head, number of days she's been the SmackDown champion. Oh, interesting. They shouldn't get a tattoo.
Right.
The match itself, I mean, it was a good match. I mean, Asuka and Bayley have had matches before against each other, and there was some good stuff here. Some of their stuff they've used in the past in their matches. But the story here, everybody's paying attention to mainly, is what's Sasha going to do? And Sasha and Asuka had their little moments. And Sasha would distract Asuka. Bayley would try to capitalize on that. It didn't work. So towards the end, Asuka went for the ass attack, ass-based offense on Bayley. But Sasha was on the apron, and she hit Sasha instead. Bayley then got Asuka in the cradle and got the pinfall. So then Sasha and Bayley attacked Asuka after the match. As the segment ended, and the story kind of goes here, is that Sasha was willing to sacrifice herself to allow Bayley to retain her title. At least that's what, you know, was
sure,
yep, what everybody thought. And I think they did a decent job of putting that out there. So that's good that they did that. So now we'll wonder what happens later on when the shoe's on the foot. But, yeah, good match. Nothing extra I got to say. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a very, very good match. Their match on Raw a couple of weeks ago was a good bit better, I think. But this was really, really good. Great submission-based wrestling, good counters. Of course, you know, both ladies are excellent and have been excellent during this crowdless era. Yeah, you know, I kind of expected the finish, and it kind of went the way I thought it would, but it was executed pretty well. You know, I was pleased overall with this for sure. Thought it was a very good opener, very good match.
Bailey, you think that Naomi's going to be the one to get the belt off her? You think it's going to be Sasha? Where do you think the end game is going to be with Bailey?
So, if I were to guess, you know, I think Naomi might get a title shot maybe next week. Of course, Bailey and Sasha have to defend the tag titles next week at Payback. I could see them having Bailey do double duty.
Who is the defense against?
We don't know.
Okay, so it hasn't been announced. Okay, because I was wondering, they kept announcing that everyone defend the titles, mm-hmm. and I was like, who? Who are they against?
Yeah.
And now, well, there we go.
We still don't know. So I have to think they're still going to do Bailey Sasha. I think Bailey and Sasha are going to feud for the SmackDown belt still. So I think even if Naomi gets a title shot, she'll still lose. And I think we'll get Bailey Sasha in a feud. And as far as Raw goes, you know, we'll talk about that when we get there.
But the thing is, the next big show is Survivor Series. So
right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. Well, they've been drawing this thing out forever, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we'll have more of this later. All right, so we get a Dominic duo with Ray and blah, blah, blah. He wanted Ray to promise that he wouldn't get involved. Ray hesitated, but he agreed, so there's that. Then we have the Retribution video, which Saxton said they had additional security tonight. So maybe you know, in a rare moment in wrestling, actual security worked, did their job.
The first time in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, Doug Dillinger wasn't in charge of that crew, I'll tell you that. So, there you go. Maybe they had – well, so maybe they brought in Atlas security. Who knows? All right. So next we get the Raw tag titles. Street Profits over Angel Garza and Andrade. Which the Street Profits retain their titles in this. Kevin Owens on commentary, wearing a Street Profits shirt with red necktie. So there's that. So we had all the red stuff, red cuts falling from the ceiling. Kevin Owens wearing red. So, of course, Street Profits wore green and black. Great. But, really... really fun match here. Montez Ford's tremendous, and he worked the bulk of the match, rightly so. Garza ripped his pants off, which was always a high spot. And when did Garza and Andrade start wearing matching gear? Because they weren't wearing matching gear before.
Probably about a month ago.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it always irked me. If you're going to be a regular tag team, wear matching gear. So, that's good. And when Garza tore his pants off, we had this exchange on commentary. Tom Phillips said, "There go the pants." Byron said, "Thank goodness." And Owen's like, "What?"
I remember that. Yeah.
Byron's a fan of Angel Garza's, you know, what he's got going on down there in his pants. What can we say? So Dawkins got in there and they did the thing. Two on two action. Garza tried to pin forward his feet on the ropes. Referee saw it and broke that up. Selena got involved, argued with the referee. Montez accidentally hit her, knocked off the apron. Andrade checked on her, and then Garza ate a spine buster. Montez hit. That, I don't even call that a frog splash. I don't know what you call that. I mean, it was a 180. Basically, insane.
Like RVD used to do his wacky. Remember, like when RVD would do that stuff? But, like, Montez got insane height on it.
Yeah, he does. He's tremendous. And, he rotated in the air and just fantastic. So, got the pinfall. And that was it. So, Street Profits retained the title. One of these days, we're going to have something with Andrade and Angel Garza. Because they were teasing Dissension 2 months ago. So, still doing it.
And they've been doing it since you stopped, by the way. So,
so So yeah, maybe eventually we'll see something there. So what were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, good match. Kevin Owens was fun on commentary. I really like him in his role where he like wrestles like once a month and then otherwise does like the KO show, and like he's just much better as a babyface to me. But the match was good. It was funny that the Street Profits had green gear after they did all this stuff. Ford is awesome. I really like the exchange where Andrade hit his back elbow and then Dawkins speared him right after that. That was a good exchange. Looks like, you know, they might finally capitalize on this Garza Andrade feud. I don't know. Like you said, they've been teasing it for 2 months, so we'll see. But it seems like this is a big step towards that. And maybe Zelina will have to choose a side. We'll see.
Yeah. And as she does, she's going to pick Andrade. Because Garza, as we noticed tonight as well with Garza, he goes for blondes as well as he was hitting on Sarah Shriver. And, because he was wondering where Charlie was. And she was on the pre-show, so he started hitting on Sarah Shriver. And one thing we got to note as well, completely forgot about, this was Renee Young's last show tonight. And they gave her a nice little send-off. No BS. So good for her.
Yes, she was... she's been in the company for about 8 years now, and I think will probably be fondly remembered as a Mean Gene type. And, I think we'll all miss her as fans, and I think she has a lot of bigger, better things for her career, and it probably won't involve AEW people, so get over that.
I don't think so either. I think she's
going to go on somewhere else and bigger and better.
I think she's going mainstream. ESPN, I would not be shocked.
Is she with ESPN?
ESPN or something like that, you know, one of the networks, one of the sports networks. So
yes, I agree.
So yeah, I mean, great for her. And I mean, she was an innovator. I mean, you look at how WWE, you know, had women, you know, in that type of role. It was always like Terry Runnels and stuff like that. It was mainly eye candy, you know, right. Not serious, you know, journalist. And she became that, and she was able to walk the fine line, you know, of doing the type. I mean, she did, you know, stuff like Total Divas and stuff like that, but she maintained her integrity and credibility. And yeah, she did a great job. But hey, 8 years, that's quite a long time. It's, you know, time to move on, time for new things. So,
right.
Good for her. Good for her. All right. Kevin Owens also announced that he's going to have a Kevin Owens show on Raw with Aleister Black on the show. What's that been going on with him?
So, okay, this is big. So, you know, he was involved in the Mysterio versus Rollins feud.
Yeah.
So the night after Extreme Rules, he gets his arm stomped on. Okay, so he gets his arm in a chair and he gets his arm stomped on. So he comes back the next week with a bad arm and he fights Murphy in a match, or whatever, and gets involved in this other, with Carrillo and Dominic and all this other stuff. So at the end of that match, Seth basically encourages and sort of brainwashes Murphy to take out his eye. So Murphy ends up, you know, taking out Aleister's eye with the steel stairs. And, you know, he's been gone since. So I suspect he'll come back with an eye patch and whatnot. And I think we might be getting an Aleister heel turn. So I think that's what this is leading to.
Interesting. Okay. Well, there you go. That's Devin's thoughts on that. So we'll see what happens. All right. Kayla interviewed Bayley and Sasha, and that what they had set up tonight had like a little mini ring when they did interviews.
That was cool. I liked that a lot.
That was cute. I liked that too. Sasha said that she can beat Asuka if Bayley can, which is interesting. Bayley had a broom in her hand and told told Kayla it's gonna be a clean sweep, where she did her Kenny Omega impression and cleaned up the ring a little bit. One thing I noticed in this, and there was a lot of this tonight, but I understand. I mean, they're doing what they got to do. Is the fake crowd noise in this segment was really over. A lot of fake booing in here, and
sometimes it's kind of like whatever. Like, I mean, like you notice it, but it's fine. But then there's like timing for it. Like I remember like one of the matches, I don't remember which one, but like they did like a ooh off like a kick out, and it was like mistimed. So like it was terrible. But like yeah, sometimes it's just silly. I'm with you there. It just sometimes it's like come on.
Yeah, I've seen that in baseball too, where they will have they'll pipe in the crowd cheer by mistake when something actually bad happens to the home team.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it happens. It is what it is. So I understand what they're trying to do. All right. So next we get the loser leave town match. Notice qualification. Mandy Rose against Sonya Deville. And they played the video of all the stuff that happened between those two. And they had the real life stuff happen where Sonya and her stalker and all that situation where Mandy was there too. And Mandy hadn't been there. Who knows what would have happened to Sonya.
Yeah. So
that was a good thing. But they've had a rough time of it lately. But they changed the stiffest match. It's supposed to be, hair versus hair. They went no DQ, lose leave town. I guess mainly because Sonya could take time off to handle the legal business that she's got going on. So that made sense in that regard. But God bless them. They went out there and they had a heated damn match here. And I was glad to see that. Because you get matches like this, you're supposed to have this heated rivalry and they'll start out with a lockup. No, they went out there and just started fighting. And they went all over the place. Mandy did some interesting spots here. She did a dive off the table, and I mean they were laying the shots in. I was happy that we got this. Although we had the situation where Mandy had an issue setting up the table, which that happens sometimes, but it is what it is. So Sonya tried to hit Mandy's finisher, but Mandy slipped out. Mandy hit three consecutive knee strikes, then hit her double on her face buster, then got another knee strike for the pinfall win. Sonya was distraught after losing the match. Otis ran out and did a briefcase with his briefcase and did the caterpillar, hugged Mandy. She tried the caterpillar, one of the worst caterpillar attempts I've ever seen in my life.
She went backwards.
Yeah, so yeah, and the table did... The table never broke, so we had that too. One thing I forgot to mention. So, yeah, I mean, Sonya leaving, that was, the obvious finish. But, I mean, for these two, it's probably Mandy's best performance, I would say, in a match. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, probably so. The match was solid. I didn't love it, but I appreciated the layout of it, and I thought it was... I appreciated that they had a hate-filled brawl and not, didn't have a lockup or something like that. Shout out to the callback to the Tajiri chair spots across the table that Tajiri and Super Crazy had in their death matches back in 2000 ECW, if you recall. Remember when Tajiri, it was that match in the ECW arena when he slid the chairs across the table and Super Crazy ducked and they like went flying and almost took out a fan's head. yes. So that was a cool callback to that. I feel like that was probably done as a callback to that. Maybe not, but I feel like that's possible. I also liked Mandy Rose's Sharon Stone Basic Instinct look.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
Has she wore that before?
No, she had never she had gotten her short cut because they did the angle.
Oh, I love that, by the way.
But she had it wet and slipped back. She literally looked like Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct. So
she kind of like Dolph Ziggler with short hair.
Yeah, there you go.
Because her hair, it's got blonde, but it's way more darker.
Yeah. Yep.
We know she's not a natural blonde, that's for sure.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, this was a good match. Like you said, Sonya's probably going off to deal with legal business and probably needs some time to deal with a pretty scary and traumatic experience. So, you know, hopefully she can get better and deal with all that craziness, in the next couple of months. But, somebody really needs to teach Mandy to do the caterpillar, because if she's going to be running around with Otis, you know, that's got to be changed.
Well, my thing is now that Sonya's gone, what's Mandy going to do now?
I don't know. You know,
other than look,
that's a really good question. I've actually thought about that too. You know, I guess there's Lacey Evans. You know, she's a heel.
She's a heel again.
Yeah, you know, Lacey's been feuding Naomi, so she's back to being a heel.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Great. So, well, who knows? Mandy may move to Raw or something, because they're going to have a draft.
Yeah, it's allegedly going to be in October, and it's allegedly going to be all-encompassing, as in anybody can go to NXT, SmackDown, or Raw.
Well, God knows they need it.
Yeah, good Lord.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. All right, so next we get the street fight. Seth Rollins against Dominic Mysterio, where we had Rey there and Mama Angie there as well. And Seth Rollins wore gear as a tribute to Rey Mysterio's 1997 Halloween Havoc gear, and that was awesome. Whose idea it was, that God bless him. That was great. Great touch to this. Dominic had on a black and blue setup with a vest and a hood. So he had a interesting look for himself. It's Dominic's first match. I mean, yeah, he's done practice matches and stuff like that, but it's his first match. First real match. And he's, of course, he's going to be green. He's a his first fucking match, but this dude's got it. Which he should, because of, you know, the bloodline. But this dude's got it. Once he puts it together, once he gets everything down, he's going to be something else, man. Yeah, he's going to always look like a big old kid. But so is his dad. But his dad wears a mask. But so is his dad. So there's going to be that. But the kid, he's got intangibles. And once he works on charisma and more ring presence, he's going to be a hell of a performer. And Seth had a hell of a match with him. Seth was a great opponent for him. He led him through it. They went over 20 minutes. I mean, this is by far the longest match on the show so far. And they did a lot of high spots. We got the Singapore Kane stuff, which, man, I mean, I saw this stuff that they did on Raw with Dominic, where he was all fucked up. They did it again the night where both him and Seth were fucked up. And I'm like, man, I don't remember the Singapore Kane stuff used to be like that all the time. They must be getting some stiffer canes or something, or made out of different type of wood. Because I remember the Sandman and them being that gnarly when they were using the cane. But Jesus Christ. But we got all kinds of melodrama in this. So that was going to come into play with the story. You know, with Ray being the concerned dad, Murphy being out there getting involved, Mama came out there. So we had all this stuff going on. Ray was true to his word. He was not going to help Dominic, even though Samoa Joe was like, how can this man watch his son get beat up like this? So Angie finally she walked out on the stage. Ray went up there and pleaded with her, don't get involved. So Dominic got schoolboyed Seth because he was watching this and for a near fall. And they went at it some more. Murphy got involved, trying to take Dominic's eye out. Ray made the save. And then they handcuffed Ray to the ring, and Seth started walking towards Mama Mysterio until Dominic took him out. And Dominic got 619, then went for his own frog splash, but Seth got his knees up, and Rollins was, they had Ray handcuffed, so Ray was watching and he was taunting him. And then he hit the curb stomp on Dom for the pinfall victory. After the match, Rollins put the keys to the handcuffs on Dom and grabbed the crawl over to his dad to unhook him. Ray and Dominic had a moment in the ring. It was a hell of a match, and especially for a kid's first match in the in the business on a show like SummerSlam. I didn't watch Pat McAfee on TakeOver. I saw clips of that, so, and I've seen everybody talk about him. So, man, two solid debuts for guys on the weekend for WWE. So, talk to me about what happened here. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a great match. It was long.
And you're no Seth Rollins fan, so that's, coming from you.
This is the best Rollins has probably ever been, and I'm not a fan of Seth. But, he's better at this than much any other character he's ever been at, and he was very, very good in this match. Like you said, he led Dominic through, and Dominic, man, he's something, man. He hit his spots. His fire was great. The comeback when Seth and Murphy were going after his mom and he had that awesome comeback 2-on-1 was great. Like, God, that was great. The cane shots in this match were brutal. Gosh, and you're right. These cane shots are just violent as hell. This was a great match. It was long, but it was really, really compelling. The work was very good. The WWE Sports Entertainment melodrama was done very, very well. This was a great match. This was a very, 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 very good match, a strong highlight. I really like this feud. And, with Payback being next Sunday, I think we might get Ray and Dom versus Seth and Buddy in a tag team match, I think, next Sunday. I think we might get that next week. So, and if we do, I'm looking forward to it if we do get that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't announce anything, so we'll see what happens. But it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. So it's going to happen.
Right.
So, and who knows? Where Aleister Black may play a role in it. Who knows?
Sure, he could.
All right, so next we get the Raw Women's Championship as Asuka winning against Sasha Banks. And Asuka had some knee issues in the previous match, so Sasha went to work on that. Asuka came fighting back. So Sasha had a powerbomb off the apron to the outside. That was rough. Rough powerbomb. I mean, it was, and then Seth powerbomb on Dominic. My God. That was one of the best powerbombs I've ever seen. I mean, that's a Chris Benoit Mikey Whipwreck powerbomb right there. I mean, man, he powerbombed his ass.
Yeah, he did. I forgot to mention that was brutal.
Yeah, yeah. So. Asuka, Sasha, of course, have had also really strong match in the past. They went to all their usual stuff. Asuka got the Asuka lot. Sasha reversed the crossface. So Asuka reversed into the Asuka lot, but Sasha got out of there. Bayley got on the apron. So we saw what happened there. And Asuka gave her a spinning back fist. And then got the Asuka lock on Sasha again, this time for the submission win. So, the thing was, the story, way it looked, though, was Bayley. It's the way the story looked was supposed to go was Bayley didn't sacrifice herself for Sasha, even though Asuka knocked her off the apron. She wasn't willing to do it. She was just standing there, and Asuka got her. But Sasha had got the advantage on Asuka right after that happened, but Asuka reversed it. So, I understood what they were doing, but the execution was all kinds of funky, and they were saying, making it sound like it was a screwy finish, and it kind of was, but it wasn't. I wanted more. I wanted more screwiness to set, further us along than what I got. So that's just me here, but Asuka won the belt. I mean, that's all that, that's what happened. It was supposed to happen what needed to happen, so there you go, and we'll see what happens next week. So what are your thoughts?
I thought the match was great. Really great, actually. I thought it was the best of their trio of matches this year. The finish was cloudy. I agree with you there. But it was very pleasing to see the finish that we got here because, trust me, if you had seen the finishes of the first two matches, you would have looked desperately for a cliff to leap off of because it was the two worst book finishes of the year in the company. So it was pleasant to see something that was so much better, even if it wasn't perfect. I love Sasha, like, screaming for Bayley at the end, too. Like, Bayley, Bayley, you know, like, where are you? Like, why aren't you here to help me?
Yeah.
So I did think that was a nice touch. You're right. It wasn't perfect. I think the execution definitely could have been a little bit better. But it was just very pleasing to see the end of this series with a much more definitive and, like, you know, pleasing finish than what we had previously in the first two matches. But yeah, this was a great match. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was better than the Bayley match to start the show. This was a great match. And I guess the idea was that not necessarily that Bayley wasn't there to help Sasha, but that I think the idea it's nuanced stuff that like WWE isn't great at, you know. I think the idea is that Sasha expected Bayley to be there, and she wasn't. If that makes you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even though Bayley got knocked off, she still expected Bayley to be there to save her, and now that's going to be in Sasha's head that she's helped Bayley retain, but Bayley didn't help her retain. Even if Bayley did try to help her, if that makes sense. Like, it's more of like a. You're supposed to like understand what they're thinking, and I think that's a difficult task to ask for a fan. You know what I mean? Sometimes it does need to be written out, and in this case, it kind of isn't. So you kind of have to do that on your own a little bit, and therefore, that's I think where the issue is with the finish is that you know they probably could have made that a little bit more clear. But otherwise, I was really pleased with it, and thought the match was fantastic. So,
all right. Well, we'll see where they go from here. All right. Next, we get the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton. And next, I saw the video, so I got caught up on all the going on there. Shawn Michaels, they was at wherever. If that was his home, who knows? And
you mean Ron Howard?
Well, I say look, he look like mid-80s Arn Anderson. I know, with his hand off. He look like a member of the Anderson family. Wow. When I saw that picture Monday, I was like, "Whoa, my God!" Sean, just keep shaving your head, brother. It's okay. You don't have to do that. But he said he won a Claymore kick, so we'll see how that played out. This match with 20 minutes. And it was a hell of a fucking match. Orton was doing good shit before I quit watching. But, you know, they keep talking about how, you know, he's been really good as far as, you know, stuff going on. On the pre-show, they were really, you know, putting him over hard. And, you know, just the best Randy Orton there's ever been. And this, that, and the other. And blah, blah, blah. But, him and Drew had a hell of a fucking match tonight, man. Stiff. Drew got his eye busted up. I mean, you had Orton with Drew's blood on his face. They were hitting all their big moves. And, I mean, it was a hell of a fucking match. And, so you had, Orton getting the DDT on Drew towards the end. Then he thought about the RKO and went for the punt. Drew caught him with a powerbomb. Orton ducked the Claymore kick, but Drew got him with a backslide to get the pinfall victory, where Tom Phillips made sure to yell out, "We never saw it coming," as the ref counted three.
Laughing at that.
So yeah, I mean, I like matches with finishes like this because, yeah, we all, you know, everybody has their finisher, but I love a match where you get this flash finish where again, nobody sees it coming. No pun intended. Who would have thought this match would end with a backslide? But, no RKO at all in this match, period. So, you got to give it to Drew. Drew's been champion the whole time through the COVID era. And he's had a hell of a run. No, I mean, it sucks that he hasn't been able to get the appreciation that he deserves from a fan base inside the arenas. But he's made the best out of it. And, this is another notch on his belt. So, props to him and props to Orton, man, for hanging with him and having his working boots on and everything. And who knows what this would have been like with a real live crowd, too. It sucks for them that they didn't have that luxury. But still, great match. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, this match was tremendous. It's a great, great title match. Drew's best title defense. Both guys are awesome, have been great all year. You know, if you know, we had a first team all pro team for WWE, both these guys would be on the first team. This was a fantastic match. I actually think both guys got color. You know, Drew got color from the stomps to the head, you know, underneath his eye and the finger poke. And Randy, I think, headbutted Drew when they were going for that superplex spot and busted his own head open. So,
they were explicitly saying that was Drew's blood on Randy's head. Okay. But I kind of think it was Randy's blood, too.
Yeah, I do, too. Because, I mean, those headbutts were nasty. This was a great match. It was, and you know what? The finish was excellent. These are two guys who, you know, they've been booked so well and booked so strong. Neither of them needed to lose. And this was the right way out, in my opinion. Drew got to win clean, but there's still more left to go. He got that backslide, that flash pin. Is he really better? You know what I mean? Like, this was the perfect booked finish. It was a perfect finish because it was, you know, they had to find an out. And I think a lot of people's concerns, including mine, was that, you know, Retribution was just going to interfere and turn it into a no contest. That thankfully didn't happen. And they basically found, in my eyes, probably the only good way in the match, because both guys don't need to lose. And yes, Orton lost clean, but the way that he lost protected him a ton. You know, nobody's finisher was kicked out of. You know, neither the Claymore punt or RKO were used. You know, Randy did get one big kick out of the, you know, double arm DDT, you know, which was needed. It's a big match at SummerSlam. But, you know, they protect each other's moves and they found the perfect finish and perfect way out. This was an excellent match from start to finish.
So the pay-per-view ended there. I mean,
yeah.
No.
Well, hold on now. You can't do that to me. I know the two guys in the actual match aren't, but I won't allow you to let me celebrate here for a minute.
I know. Well, first off, there's another reason to celebrate. They aired a video package announcing that Raw would have no limits, as it's limitless. Tomorrow night, yes. Keith Lee makes his Raw debut. Official Raw debut tomorrow night, and I cannot be happier for that guy. He's worked his ass off and on the indie circuit for years. Had a great run at NXT. Yeah, his title run was short, but goddamn it, it's time for him to go to the big time, and it's now the time, and I can't wait to see what they do with him. I mean, this actually got me excited, you know, something that hadn't got me excited in a long time for current wrestling. So we'll see what happens with him, but he's going to the big time.
What are your thoughts? I'm pumped for this, man. Like, honestly, his booking has been shit the last month and a half on NXT, and I'm glad he's getting away from Hunter and Sean's garbage, literal garbage. And you know, he can actually go somewhere. I mean, like, when Vince McMahon is more competent than the people in NXT, that's not good.
You mean John Belcastro's garbage? match.
Right. But yeah, this is exciting. I'm with you. I'm really excited to see him on Raw tomorrow. That's big news, and I'm pumped for it for sure. Great talent.
Absolutely.
Huge potential. He has no business not being WWE champion or Universal champion or whatever within the next year or so. He's that good, or at least, I mean, you know, somewhere around there.
Well, the way they put him over, you know, at the end of the year last year in the Royal Rumble, I mean,
and with Roman and Survivor Series, you know.
Yeah. So we'll see. So good for him. All right, so yes, we had the false camera match, The Fiend against Braun. I saw the video package for this match, and I was like, oh my goodness.
You were like, no wonder I stopped watching.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
The Alexa stuff, too hammy. I mean, it was like, ugh. And Michael Cole had the perfect line before the match, said, you should turn away if you have a weak stomach. I will say this, at least they didn't lock up to start the match. They started, you know, fighting. That was good. But this is a false camera match, and all they did was go to gorilla position for a little bit, which was red, with a red light. But, I mean, yeah, false camera, you expect, you know, this go, I mean, how they do it, you expect to go all through the back, and this, that, and the other, and... No, all we got was a little brawling gorilla to get back in the ring. Braun had a little bit of blood going on there. He blocked the mandible claw, hit his running power slam for a near fall. Then Braun went outside the ring after he used a toolbox earlier, or as I call it, Velveteen Dream. And he got a box cutter from the toolbox. And using the stuff that I use in my job, he... sliced the ring mat open to expose the wood panels. I was like, okay, I've seen this before. You know, they're going to do some crazy shit. You know, it's all, I mean, it's to be expected here. No! Fiend got up, gave him a Uranage on the wood, then hit two Sister Abigails to win. 1, 2, 3. So they were doing this shit and did nothing with it. Amazing. Amazing. So Bray gets on his feet. Match only goes 10 minutes, which I'm not complaining about that. Match only goes 10 minutes.
Oh no.
And so Wyatt gets up, and all of a sudden, a figure dressed in black spears him. Roman's back, baby. Roman then speared Strowman on the outside of the ring, blasted him with some chair shots, speared the Fiend again. Roman was talking a ton of shit. Saying those guys were nothing without his ass, and Bray was just a freak of the mask. Title was his. He held it high as the show was over. Roman's back. The one thing that they're pushing, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, the WWE co-opted media seems to be pushing the narrative that Braun, that Roman's a heel in this scenario. I don't think so. I think he's got an edge. He's back. But hey, Braun don't play no performance centers, anybody. So he's back in the big buildings. He's a big building man. And he's back in the big buildings again. And it was good to see him back. And he's refreshed. He's been gone for 5 months. So he's back. And he'll reclaim his title again. And then we'll see what happens there. So take your victory lap here. Your boy's back.
Yes. So let me defend the False Count Anywhere match real quick. Okay, let's be honest. Okay, look, the feud sucked. It was terrible garbage. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
I do like Braun with the bald head, though. Yes. I will say that.
Yes, I think he needed a change in look. I agree with that. I thought the Alexa stuff was interesting, and I thought there was a chance she might get involved, but I think it's a good idea that she didn't ultimately.
She gave this cryptic tweet earlier in the day, which kind of, you know, put that out there. I was like, right. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Because, I mean, she had this real cryptic tweet, and you got to sin to get saved. Okay. And then after that, an hour after the show was over, someone tweeted out, "Where is Alexa Bliss?" which she retweeted. Then she retweeted this emoji of a girl with her hands in the air. So I don't know. So it sounds like she may be upset that she wasn't used in this. But
it's possible. Yeah. You know, that's very possible.
She's part of the story. I mean, they played that up and then not involved at all in this. And this match was a nothing match.
I don't think that she's totally out of loop for this story, but you know, but in terms of like, you know, the whole deal where like the Fiend changes everybody.
Yeah.
There's a few, you know, her and Nikki Cross have been teasing dissension.
Well, yeah.
And I think Alexa's just going to go back to the 2016, 2018 Alexa, where she's a heel again and turns on Nikki. And I think this will be like, it'll be the trend where the Fiend changes everybody.
Yeah, but do you think she gets to be that same character, though, or will she be a new version of that character?
Like a darker version, maybe?
Yeah.
Possible. You know, I still think that's possible, but, you know, after tonight, I think it's a little bit less likely. But as far as the Falls Count Anywhere match goes, it was only 10 minutes, and I actually thought they worked the right match. Because it's Braun and Bray, they suck. So the best thing they can do, and you're right, they definitely could have done more. Even with the 10 minutes, they could have done more. I'm with you there. But, you know, they did a bunch of monster spots. They went to the barricade. Bray's getting choked slammed on the table and not breaking looked horribly painful. God, that must have hurt.
Always does.
Yeah, the brawling in Gorilla was kind of goofy, but, you know, at least Braun got a little bit of color from it. Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, the ending with the mats was also silly, and then it kind of ended. But I think it was right, you know, Braun, they needed to get the title off of Braun. And, yeah, the Fiend isn't exactly the greatest guy to have besides him, but they needed to get the title off of him. And it's funny. After the finish, I was like, oh, great. They teased this whole thing where you'll never see it coming. And, you know, I guess you'll never see it coming was when Tom Phillips yelled out, "You'll never see it coming" on Drew McIntyre's backside. I guess that's the whole reason for the tagline was that Drew won with the backside. I was all mad. I worked myself into a shoot mark. So then I'm like, all mad. Then someone spears Bray, and I was like, oh, my God. So a couple of days ago, I tweeted out, I was like, you know, I was like, wrestling rumors are BS. Because, you know, there had been rumblings about Roman coming back. So, you know, wrestling rumors are mostly BS. But in 2018, this is true, January 2018, I tweeted out that Daniel Bryan would never wrestle again and Ronda Rousey would never come to the WWE. And people needed to stop talking about it and drop the discussion. And this was in January 2018. And then look what happened over the course of the next 3 months. And by the way, that tweet had hundreds of retweets and likes. So then I quote tweeted that a couple of days ago with, "Therefore, Roman Reigns will not, in all caps, come back at SummerSlam and beat the ever-living fuck out of Braun Strowman and The Fiend, and we just need to drop the discussion." There you go. That's why they call me the Oracle of Wrestling right there, Chris.
There you go.
I spoke it into existence. But
there you go.
Anyways, to stop tooting my own idiotic, moronic horn that doesn't even exist. Yeah, this was awesome. My brother Dustin and I were completely going nuts. Dustin, of course, who's even a bigger Roman fan than I, exploded out of the table and was pumping his fist and jumping up and down, screaming and yelling as Roman was completely annihilating Braun and the Fiend and talking mad shit, and it was awesome. And, you know, finally they've got one of their top stars back. Thank God, because they desperately needed something like this. And I've missed the guy because he is my favorite wrestler in the company, and we badly needed him. And we badly needed somebody else in the main event scene other than fucking Braun and The Fiend. So thank God. Great ending to the show. Great ending to the show.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I had seen people I had seen talk about. I mean, I thought he was going to be there too. I mean, it seemed like it was obvious. So it was just how it was going to happen. And that's how it happened. It was the right way, you know. And to have, hopefully, he's going to be this type of character where he doesn't, you know, he doesn't care. You know, he just is, he just He'll beat anybody up. He don't give a shit.
Right.
So that's what he needs to be. So we'll see what happens on a Friday night SmackDown, I guess, the Thunderdome. So there's that. So that's SummerSlam. All right. So thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where are you standing?
Thumbs up. Best WWE show since the Royal Rumble. The best pandemic era show, big show, pretty easily in my opinion. I even liked it better than WrestleMania Night 1, which a lot of people liked, and I liked as well. But this was better. Strong booking throughout most of the show. Several great matches. A great surprise and hook at the end. Very good show. I was very, 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 very pleased. Big thumbs up.
I'll give it a thumbs up as well. I mean, strong wrestling on the show. Not a lot of bullshit. So the main event was what it was, but it had to pay off at the end. So there's that. So yeah, I'll definitely give it a thumbs up for somebody who hasn't watched 2 months. And probably, who knows? Who knows if I've been watching a Payback? I don't know yet. I ain't made a decision. So we'll see what happens from there on. So, yeah, as I was saying, we... You know, there may be a show next week. There may not. Depends how I feel about what's going on. Like, I see what I mean. First off, they got to announce a card.
Right. So, right.
You know, they got to announce a card and go from there. But I was happy I watched the show tonight. Nothing made me was like, why am I doing this? But it's still not the same. It's just not the same. It's, to me, this whole era is like, what are we really fighting for? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Why are we even doing this? You know, there's nobody paying money to watch this as fans, and it's just...
It's hard for a lot of people. I've learned a lot about myself as a fan. And this will sound weird, but... Like, don't get me wrong, with fans is always going to be better, but I think ultimately I care more about just having it on and being able to have it on and, you know, watch it and get into whatever goofy WWE storyline is doing, whether it's good or bad, or, you know, even watch AEW, which I've enjoyed a lot lately. You know, I think it's just wrestling in general that I like so much. And, of course, I've been watching a lot of old wrestling like you. I've been watching 2001 WWE, you know. So, I mean, it's not like I'm not watching old wrestling either. It's just, you know, I just like it. It's like my buddy who, don't get me wrong, I know you and I both love football. But my buddy is a huge, huge mass. I mean, like, he's obsessed with football like you and I are wrestling fans. And I have concerns about football because I'm of the belief that football is not like – it's not quite like wrestling, but I think it's one sport where – without fans may actually hurt it for me. And it's not the case with baseball and basketball and hockey because the pace of those games are a little bit different. And especially with basketball and hockey, it's so focused on the court and the rink. Whereas, you know, football, it's kind of like, you know, the fans kind of drive a lot of the atmosphere. And I'm concerned as a fan, you know, I'm concerned that I won't enjoy it very much. Nor do I think we'll even have the whole seasons.
at least college will have fans.
Yep.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
These colleges are going because I mean, you reading the stuff today, a lot of these universities who are just now, you know, opening up or about to open up are having massive outbreaks of COVID at the campus. So
yeah.
My God. So we'll see how that goes, but...
But, I mean, I understand your feeling, though, and, you know, but I think it's just for me. I'm so tapped into wrestling that I just don't care. I just want it on.
See, my thing is, like I explained on Twitter today, I got over 7,000 DVDs. I still have to catalog.
It's not like you can't feed your obsession, you know? It's not like you can't feed your fandom. You know, you got plenty of other things to enjoy wrestling with. That doesn't involve having to watch the current product.
You know? It's just like, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway. All right. Well, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. And like I said, who knows? Maybe back next week, may not. Never know. All right. So for Devin, this is Chris, and I'm saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.